Okay, so let's review the question, the problems that we have left. Let's see if we can sum up the problems in here. Okay, so the first question is the basic question is, what is the idea of the kula of Igeres that that allows you to be korei from the Megillah, even though it's missing many, many psukim, right? How is that different than, he's comparing that to Sefer Torah, right? In other words, by Sefer Torah, he's saying any mistake, you can't read from it. But Megillah, there's a kula of Megillah, and the kula of Megillah is that that psula, that a psul that's not mispashe bakula is still good for kriya. Okay, so that's one question, right? The difference between Megillah and Sefer in terms of kriya. And then the question also is, the difference between Megillah for kriya and the Megillah for Tumas Yodayim. Right? What does it mean that there, what does it mean it's good for kriya, but it still is not Metames Yodayim because it's not, ketikuna, it's not kehilchasa. And on top of that, finally, the question is, what does he mean that Sefer Torah has to can't have any mistakes, but yet, as long as it's not missing a yiriyah achrona, yiriyah achas in the end, it's good. In other words, if you're going to tell me that the difference between Megillah and Sefer is that Megillah can have mistakes and Sefer can't for Kriya, so then how is it possible to say, but a Sefer Torah can have one less than one column missing in the end? Right?
It turns out it's just missing words at the end?
Words at the end. And why is it so clear that words at the end are, even though words at the end are good, but missing in the middle is vaday no good, he's saying. Now, what's really the difference? And finally, bonus question is, that Sefer Torah that's missing less than the Yiriyah at the end, do you think it's Metamei Yodayim or not? Okay. Okay, so, yeah.
In theory, you could, like, switch at that point.
Switch to another...
yeah, like, read the good part and then...
Right. So, where do you want to start? I mean, I think in order to understand this sugya, it's not a matter of understanding as much as it is a matter of undoing what you think you understand. Right? In other words, we all think that we know that the Sefer Torah can't have any mistakes because then it's just not a Sefer Torah. I mean, if the way we think about it is you have to get rid of this idea. You have to get rid of this one idea. And that is that if the Sefer Torah does not have every letter that is our Masorah of Sefer Torah, then it's a zero. Sefer Torah, there's a certain way to think about it, and this is a very reasonable way to think about it. And you'll say, why is it no good if it has a mistake in the middle or if it's missing a letter? Because it doesn't match up to the prototype of Sefer Torah, right? You're copying a Sefer Torah. So when your copy is perfect, then you have a new Sefer Torah. If your copy is not perfect, you don't have a Sefer Torah, right? And if you want to read the Sefer Torah, you have to have a Sefer Torah. That's the end of the story. So if that were true, then it would be impossible to say missing less than the column at the end is still a good Sefer Torah. I mean, how's that possible? You know, from the fact that you can have a case that missing something in the end and you can still read, it still is considered reading from the Sefer Torah, that shows you that the problem is not that it's not a 100% replication of the original Sefer Torah. In other words, if you have a binary system of Sefer Torah, it won't work out over here. Because what will it be? Either it will be that you have everything right, and then you have a Sefer Torah, and then Mamela you can be Korei Sefer Torah, or it's not everything right, and you don't have a Sefer Torah, and you don't have Kriya Sefer Torah. Right? If those are your only two choices, then you can't say, and as long as you're not missing a full column in the end. It doesn't fit into one of the two choices. Right? So that proves one thing. That proves one thing. That even though you're missing some of the Sefer Torah, some of the original, that doesn't automatically deem whatever you have nil. I have to get rid of that. If we don't get rid of that, we can't get started. But that begs the question, why isn't that true? Seems like a reasonable statement, right? Let's put that question on hold for a minute, though. Let's put that question on hold for a minute. Let's take up the Megillah first. Let's go back to Megillah for a minute. So what's the Ramban's major move over here? And what does he say by Megillah? That there are two inyanim by Megillah, right? By Megillah, it comes out under two frameworks. We have to think under two frameworks. One question is, do I have a kriya? Is what I am reading considered a kriya? And the other question is, do I have an entity of Megillah that's metame esiyadayim, right? So what is required for each? What's required for each? So in order to be metame esiyadayim, what do you need?
Complete.
That needs to be kehilchasa. That needs to be asuya kehilchasa. Why? Why does it have to be asuya kehilchasa to be metame esiyadayim? I mean, his question, you have to realize the strength of his question. Okay? What's the strength of his question? The strength of this question is that if I can read it and be yotzei my chi of kriya, right? If I have a Megillah that I can read from and be yotzei my chi of kriya, why is it not considered a Megillah to be matame siyadayim? Okay? And you have to realize the strength of the question is really based on, the strength of the question is based on the Gemara in Ches. Zion. On Zion. Gemara says like this. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Esther Eina Matamo Esiyadayim. Ever heard this Gemara? Shmuel says that the Megillah of Esther is not Matame Esiyadayim. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Lameimra desavar Shmuel Esther lav beruach hakodesh nemra." Does that mean that he thinks it wasn't said beruach hakodesh? Meaning, say it was just Mordechai and Esther's own personal rendition of the history. So then it wouldn't be considered kisvei kodesh. It wouldn't be matame siyadayim. As the Shmuel, when Shmuel says it's not matame siyadayim, that implies that he holds it's just a history book written by people. Right, and doesn't qualify as kisvei kodesh. V'ha'amar Shmuel est beruach hakodesh nemra, but Shmuel himself also said it was beruach hakodesh. So why is it not metame yadayim? Okay, so the Gemara says nemra likros v'lo nemra lichtov. What that means exactly is not clear, but he's saying it was said Mordechai and Esther wrote it beruach hakodesh, but not as an entity of ksiva, as something to be read. So you see one thing. What's the ikker? So we don't hold this way. We hold it was likros velichtov. But what do you see from this? That the ikker of Megillas Esther is an entity of kriya. That's the ikker. Because even Shmuel, who says it wasn't for ksiva, it wasn't to be part of kisvei kodesh, still holds it was Beruach HaKodesh as an entity of Kriya. So that's really the Ramban's question. He says, since the Ikar is an entity of Kriya, and I can be Yotzei with it my Kriya, so it should fulfill the its essential components, its essential definition as Megillas Esther. So why isn't it Metame Siyadayim?
isn't the premise there that Tumasi Adayim is din in fulfilling the essential role?
Yeah.
And not just, it seems like it's a din really in just being a sefer, though.
Well, he's saying, because they're saying like this, it's going to be Mitameis Yadayim when it exists the way it was instituted. Okay? So it was instituted into Kisvei HaKodesh Bitoras Kriya, as something that should be read. Right? Something to fulfill the Chiyu Achiyav of Kriya. So that's his question. He's saying, what's lacking? It's bichsav enough to be to fulfill my chi of kriya, and that's essentially how it was. That's essentially its definition. So it should be mitameis yadayim. So that's why his answer goes by kriya. If you notice, his answer goes by kriya. His answer is, it's true you could be yotze kriya with it, but not reading it as it's written. You understand? He says, since you can't read it as it's written in Biyotze Yikriya, then it's not Kehilchasa. Kehilchasa means the way it was instituted in its, it has to be instituted, it has to be the way it was instituted. It was instituted to be an entity where its Kriya will be, the Kriya of the Ksav itself will be the fulfillment of the Chiyav. So that's why he says it has to be in Hebrew and it has to have no mistakes. But that's in terms of Tumas Yadayim. That's the question of, does it exist kihilchasa, as an entity of Kriya? So he says, just because you can use it for Kriya doesn't mean it's definitively an entity of Kriya. The only way to make it essentially an entity of Kriya is that its very own Kriya, by the terms of the Ksiva itself, brings the fulfillment of Kriya. You understand? But if I have to skip a word or add a word, or read it only to a guy who understands, Farsi, then it's not intrinsically, essentially an entity of Kriya. Its functions, it can function for a chi of Kriya, but you can't call it on its own terms an objective entity of Kriya. Okay? So what I got the essence, objective, and I think I covered the bases. The etzem, the... the Iker Etzem Chalashem of the yeah. So that's why he's focusing on the Kriya element of it. But the question is, so it's not Kehilchasa. So how are you Yotzi the Kriya? I know we're dancing around the main question a little bit. So how are you Yotzi the Kriya? Yeah. So what do you say? How are you Yotzi the Kriya? So there's only one possible answer to that question. How are you Yotzi the Kriya? Because what you're reading is considered bichsav, right? In other words, what you're reading is considered written. As long as I'm not reading Baal Peh, I'll be Yotze my Kriyas Megillah. Okay? But what does that mean, though? It's not just written. It has to be the Megillah being written, right? So it comes out a very interesting, a surprising idea here, that I can have something that's not the Megillah Kehilchasa, right, but still has an identity of Ksav of Megillah, of Ksivas Megillah. Okay, there's two things. There's the Megillah Kehilchasa. That's when it's intrinsically roy for the Kriya, for Kriya. But in order for me to be Yotze with it, then it just has to be that the parts of it that I do read count as a Kriyas Megillah. Okay, not Bichsav. So what does that mean, putting it into the positive language? It means that even though I have a lot of mistakes in my Megillah, what I do have right is considered Ksav of Megillah. Right? We're really just making deductions over here. We're not really doing induction. It's really just trying to stick to deduction for the moment. Right? That it must be that the parts that I am reading is considered reading Megillah Bichsav. Otherwise it's Baal Peh. So that means to say that even though I don't have the entity the way Anshei Knesset HaGadol instituted it, right, I don't have the prime the pristine form of Megillah, the way it's instituted, whatever I do have still counts as the ksiva of Megillah, as the ksav of Megillah. Okay. Masha Einikain by Sefer Torah, apparently. That if I have a mistake in the Sefer Torah, why can't I read it? Because I don't have what?
You don't have any ksav at all?
I don't have ksiva Sefer Torah, exactly. I don't have the ksav of Sefer Torah. So we have to understand this like this. A Megillah is composed, a Megillah or a Sefer Torah is composed of entities, elements, components, right? There are the material components, like the cloth and the dio. There are certain formal elements, like the sirtut, right? There are joining elements, like the tfiros, the gidin. But there's another element that we never really noticed before. Odd as it is, there's another element that we never really noticed. And what is that other element?
The text or composition?
The content? It is hard to express, but it is the ksiva itself. Not the content, but the ksiva.
No, we're not calling the ink and that stuff ksiva. We're not calling that ksiva. We're calling whatever this is.
This new thing, we're calling ksiva.
Yeah.
Right?
Which is?
The writing. Right? The written or the writing. Okay? Now listen carefully. I'm going to try to figure this out. Let's try to figure this out together. When you have the Sefer Torah that has a mistake in the middle, okay, here's the chakira. Why is it no good? Is it no good because it does not have all of the words, it doesn't have the content of Sefer Torah? Is it no good because it's lacking the content of Sefer Torah? No, that's what I'm trying to say now. Or is it because it doesn't have the right style of writing to qualify as the writing of Sefer Torah? What do I mean by that? I mean to say that I think this is the Iker Chilik of the Ramban. That when he talks about the difference between Igeres and Sefer, what he's really talking about is, what does it mean that the Igeres can tolerate more mistakes? But it's not a Megillah if it has mistakes. It's not that we say that by Igeres mistakes don't count. That's not true. If mistakes don't count, then it should be Metameis Yadayim. So you see, we call this a mistake. We say, if the Sofer comes to us with a Megillah that's missing 10 sentences, we wouldn't say it's a perfect Megillah. Why? Because there's a margin of error in Megillah. No Megillah is ever considered perfect. As long as you're within 10%, you're considered... No, that's ridiculous. Of course we don't say it. We say you made a mistake. Go back. I'm not going to pay you the full price until you fix it. It's not the perfect Megillah. So why is it still good? Why is it still good for reading if it's not the perfect Megillah? Why is it still good for reading if it's not the perfect Megillah? Why? New? Why? Because it still has all of the elements of Megillah. It's got the dio, it's got the cloth, and it's got the ksiva. Why? Because the ksiva of Igeres is not a perfect, does not demand perfection. You don't have the contents of the Megillah, but you can't say that the ksiva is no good. Let me put it to you better. Why is it really in the Sefer Torah that if I have everything that's good, everything is good, there's a mistake, so why isn't the part that's good, good? I mean, why isn't the part that's good, good? I have this part written. Can't write a Sefer Torah in one shot. So I'm writing Sefer Torah. As I was writing it, you were saying good, 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 good. And then I'm making one mistake and now everything is bad. Right? Why is it no good? Am I missing content? Is that not the right content? Is the first parsha of Bereishis wrong? No, the content is perfect. But what I'm trying to say is like this. If you make a mistake in the writing, that's not the right type of writing. Sefer Torah demands diligent, precise, methodical ksiva. The sofer has to write the Torah in a derech of precision. A mistake in the writing renders the whole style a sloppy, imprecise writing. So I don't have the ksiva. I don't have the kind of writing that a Sefer Torah demands. I don't have the kind of writing that the Sefer Torah demands. The Sefer Torah demands precision in writing. That's what a Sefer is. Because a Sefer is, by definition, a perfect replication of something. A replication of something for the history books and to be reprinted and reprinted. And a Sefer demands the correct replication. So if I'm copying the Sefer in an ad hoc kind of a way, in a quick, sloppy kind of a way, is no good. As a matter of fact, there's a halacha that you can't write a Torah bal peh. You have to read it and write it. You have to write it from another Torah. It has to be a certain method of transcription, perfect. So if I make a mistake, it renders the whole process a bad type of a method, a bad type of a ksiva, from beginning to end. The ksiva is one entity of ksiva. And now it's an error-laden ksiva. That won't qualify as a sefer. But can an igeres have ksiva that has mistakes? Yes. Letters can have mistakes. Letters do have mistakes. You wouldn't say it's a bad letter because you made a mistake. This guy sent me a bad letter. There's a mistake. No, it's a good letter. The writing is the writing of letters. That's how you write a letter, in a quick way. Sometimes you skip words, whatever it is. You make mistakes. Your thoughts get ahead of you. You know, your thoughts go faster than your pen sometimes. So the ksiva is good. That's the ksiva of an igeres. That's how igros are written sometimes. Quick and in haste and with mistakes. So when I have an igeres that has mistakes, it doesn't nullify the whole content. It doesn't nullify what I have, because I have the parchment, I have the D.O., and I have the style of writing indicative of a Nigeris. So of course the words that I'm missing aren't there, and I don't have the Igeris that Anshei Knesset HaGedola instituted as the prototype of Megillas Esther, but you can't undo, you can't say that the parts that I have aren't good, because why? What disqualifies them? I don't have parchment? No, I don't have D.O.? I don't have ksiva? I don't have content? I've got everything in the parts that the parts that are there qualify in every front. You understand? And when I say the Sefer Torah is no good, it's not because I'm missing the parchment, the D.O., and the content. It's because the ksiva, the style of writing itself, is one of the elements of Sefer Torah. And if it has a mistake, it renders the whole style of writing wrong. It's almost like saying the Torah has to be written in script. It's a certain style, precision. Precision is the mark of the ksiva of the Sefer Torah. It's a style. You understand what I'm saying? It's a matter. It's not a matter of content. It's a matter of reflecting back on style. So style will undo the entire sefer, because now it comes out, I don't have one of the elements really. It becomes an elementary problem. I don't have the right kind of writing. But there's no din of a kind of writing by Igeris. That's a kula that shehikilu b'Igeris. That's part of the definition of Igeris. That there's no specific style of the ksiva. There's no demand of precision like the Sefer Torah. So what I have, as long as it reflects the Megillah, meaning it's rove, and it's in the right order, so now I have all the proper elements. And I have the ksiva that has the quality of Megillah, because it... The content, as long as the contents on the whole are rove of the entity that I'm trying to copy, so now in what I have correct, I have ksav shel Megillah. Is it a full perfect Megillah? No. But is the ksav that I do have shel Megillah? Yes. So now whatever I read is considered being kore b'chsav and filling in bal peh. You understand? So that's the chiddush of the Ramban, that mistakes are not a matter of content; they're a matter of the style of ksiva itself. A sefer Torah can't admit any mistake that would render the whole thing different. That would render the whole ksav different. But Igeres, the din Igeres, means there is no din, there is no demand on the ksav, on the ksiva itself. So as long as whatever is written counts as the ksiva of Megillah. So now there's only one problem left, and that is, what does he mean when you're missing one urea, it's no good?
That works out nicely.
Okay, right. So as long as there's no mistake, it doesn't undo the ksav. It doesn't undo the ksiva. Okay? And what is the din? What do you need in order to be kore? What do you need in order to be kore? So this is the Ramban's other chiddush. He says, what do you really need in order to be kore? What does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say? Why is it possible if you're missing a urea? Say, why is possible if you're missing your urea? The chasher le milsa, right? Is that the lashon of the Gemara? It's he says the chasher b'milse, kol the chasher b'milse ein karen bo. Okay. So now let me ask you a question. Let's say I'm the sofer, right? And I know ahead of time that the way I'm writing this Sefer Torah, right? It's going to take me how many columns to finish? Let's say I cheshbon out. The way I'm writing is going to take me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 columns to finish. To make this Sefer Torah, it's going to take me 5 columns. That's the way the words are spaced. That's the way, based on everything I'm writing, that's what it's going to be. Right? So what's the idea of the Ramban? He's saying like this. He's saying, what does that mean then? What does that really mean? It means that my Sefer Torah now has ksav, has klaf, dio, ksav, and what? Urios. Now, the elements of my Torah are defined as the klaf, the dio, the type of ksiva that I need, and urios. You understand? There's a certain projection ahead of time that defines the components of the Torah. So if I finish here and I don't keep writing, it's not a matter of content that I'm missing. It's a component that I'm missing. It's a qualitative entity that is deficient. because there's an entity that I'm missing. Because my Torah, as a complete chetza, would have five columns. So then that means that my Torah, as an entity, demands five columns. So if I have four, then by definition, it's chosir b'milsei. Now I'm missing a complete entity. I'm missing one complete component from the Torah. You understand? But if I make it up onto this column, so what am I missing? What am I missing? I've got my elements, and I've got every component that I need. You can't call it missing a component anymore. Of course, it's not finished. It's not finished. But is it intrinsically, is there an element that's missing, or is it just unfinished? In order to be able to read the beginning, I have to have it, I have to have that there's no material, I have to have that there's nothing that is chosir b'milsei. I don't have to have it complete, he's saying. If I had a mistake over here, it would be a problem because the whole ksav would be bad. But as long as the ksav is good, and I have all of the entities of the Torah, then whatever I have qualifies as ksivas sefer Torah. The only way I'm going to passel this part of the Torah by a mistake by something at the end is if it's a mistake that runs through the unity of the Torah. But what is in the unity of the Torah? Only the components, the klaf, the dio, the ksiva, the urios. So if I'm missing one urio over here, then bracious is no good. Because it's not part of, because the number of urios is really one of the components of the whole sefer. So now the sefer is a chosir b'milsei.
Why isn't missing words at the last urio deficiency in the ksav?
Because the ksav as a style is good.
Why is that?
Because there's no psul in that ksav. There's no psul in you can't say that the only psul is if I can reflect a certain sloppiness in the ksiva. But incomplete is not. If there was a mistake on that last page, it would be a problem. But incomplete, he's saying, does not. In other words, in order for it to be a kriya of the Torah, it doesn't have to be a complete Torah. Just like by Igeres, just like by Megillah, in order for it to read it, it doesn't have to be complete. It just has to have all of the elements there. In order for the ksav that is there to qualify for a kriya b'ksav, it just has to be that the Megillah, that all of the elements are there. So by Sefer, if there's a mistake, then you don't have ksiva. By Megillah, if you have a mistake, you still have ksiva. And by the Torah, if there's no mistake, but it's missing a different material element, meaning to say the number of panels that this Torah would require. This is a 10-panel Torah. Well, you got 9 panels. So you obviously don't have a 10-panel Torah there, but this Torah demands 10 panels. So it's possible right away. It's chasav b'milsei. It's the whole thing is chasav b'milsei. The beginning to end is chasav b'milsei. Why? Because you are representing this by definition is a 10-panel Torah, but you only have 9. So it's intrinsically chasav in one of its elements. But if I have the 10-panel Torah, and it's just not complete, so that he holds that is not considered a chosir b'milsei. It's not, you can't say there's an element. Which element is missing? There has to be something that is completely missing in the Torah for it to be possible. What's missing? The content I have. So it's true I don't have all the content. But the content I have, I do have. right? I have the components, I have the urios. No one's saying that the content that you don't have, you have, of course. But that's not a component. So I don't think it would be metames yadayim, but it would still qualify as a kriya biksav. Do I have a kriya biksav? Yes, I have a kriya biksav. Right. Right, this is what I'm trying to say. This is what I'm saying. If you understand it's a din in the writing as a style, not the content per se, then you can make this chiluk. You can say if there's a mistake anywhere, then that means he wrote it with the style of mistakes, which is not the style of the writing of a Sefer Torah. But when you get there, and then you would be missing an element of the Torah, ksiva, the type of ksiva. As long as I got to the last urea, nobody ever finishes a Torah in one shot. So, but the question is, what I have written, does it now all qualify as the ksiva of Sefer Torah? Is it all considered to be a ksav shel Sefer Torah? So that's going to depend on if I have the right components, if I have all the right components. So as long as I have all the right components, then what I have is considered the ksav of shel Sefer Torah. And it'll be kasher for kriya. I don't know if it'll be metames yadayim, but it will be kasher for kriya. So what do I need in order to have the right elements? I need to have, of course, the parchment, the D.O., and what the Gemara in Gittin is telling you is that the number of urios is also one of the components. That's the chiddush of the Gemara in Gittin. So if I miss a line in the middle, the whole thing is no good from beginning to end because I don't have the right ksiva. But as long as I never make a mistake in my ksiva, and I have onto the last panel, so now I have all the elements. Whatever I have now contains all the elements. I've got the panels, I've got the ksiva, I've got the klaf, I've got the dio. Do I have the complete text? No, of course I don't have the complete text. But is the text that I have written now with the shame of Sefer Torah? Well, as long as what you have has all the qualities of Sefer Torah, then that ksiva will have the shame of ksav shel Sefer Torah. So by Torah, as long as what is written, I'm trying to say universally it's the same idea. In order to be kasher for kriya, all you need is what is written to have the quality of the Sefer that you're writing. So by Megillah, there's no requirements of precision. So even mistakes will qualify as ksiva. And as long as it's rove, it reflects the entity of Megillah. So then whatever I have written is considered ksiva, shel sef, shel Megillah. But by Torah, it's very rigid. First of all, any mistake nullifies the entire ksiva. Second of all, there's a predetermined number of panels that are part of your Sefer Torah. As a matter of fact, there's a halacha by Torah that, I don't know if people do this, but there's a halacha by Torah that the height, you ever see this one? The height has to equal the circumference.
What is this for?
By Sefer Torah. It's one of the halachas by Sefer Torah.
Circumference of what?
Of the scroll.
When
it's scrolled.
You have to roll it up into one thing rather than two.
No Torahs are like that, though.
No, before you put it on the Eitzim. In other words, if you
took all of them and put it on one roll.
If you rolled it all up, the circumference is supposed to be equal to the height.
Is it like that? Like,
I think they do that. I don't know. But anyway, in other words, there are certain like unified projections over the whole object, over the whole Sefer. So one of them is that every Torah, depending on how it's written, has a certain number of urios. So as long as what you have has all the qualities of the Sefer, so in other words, as the dio, the klaf, the gidin, the tfiros, the ksiva, and the urios, then it all reflects, then it all has the shame of ksav shel Sefer Torah. And I can read it, and it's not called Kori Alpeh. Is it Matamis Yudayim? I don't see how it could be. Because it's deficient in that part, but it won't be a kriya al peh, huh?
I'm confused with the Megillah, meaning the Megillah all.
So the truth is, in other words, when you're writing the Sefer Torah, in other words, it can still have the shame of ksiva of the Torah. Why? Because the Torah exists already. Everybody knows what the full Torah is. And now, all you need is that what is written reflects that copy. You know, reflects the content of Torah. Notice if a person is writing something on his own, so then if it's incomplete, it has no, the point is you don't need to finish the Torah, you don't need to finish the ksiva in order for it to be considered Torah. It just has to have the elements of Torah in order for the ksiva to be considered ksiva shel Torah, because there already is a predefined model that we're just reflecting, and when it reflects the original to a certain degree, then we can say it has enough to be considered the ksiva of Torah, because it's a copy. There's a certain point where the copy is close enough to say, if a guy had, if there's something that you know what the full entity is, then you know, and this is a copy down to the last few sentences, so you know it's very clear what the whole thing is. It's a copy of that. That's enough, but. It's like Rav Chaim says. He says you don't need lishma in certain. You don't really need lishma. I think he has over there by the ksiva, because lishma means you're going to make it. You're going to define it as the ksiva of Sefer Torah, but intrinsically it's the ksiva of Sefer Torah because it reflects the parsha exactly. It's an exact copy of the parsha. You don't need to define it as Torah. It is per se the ksiva of Torah. There is a pre-existing entity that we just have to, have a ksav that reflects it. So as long as it's all the parshas are there, the parshas that are there are perfect, and it's clear, and it even has projected a sof. You understand? That's what I'm trying to show you. That from the beginning, it already projects a close. It projects 10 columns. That's the end. So then, as long as I have the last column, it's obvious what everything else is. I'm not missing any material element. So it's enough to qualify as this up till here is the writing of a Sefer Torah. It's all the right elements, and it has the shame of a ksiva of a Sefer Torah. Was I mashlim it? No, I didn't finish it. I wasn't yotzei b'mitzvah ksiva Sefer Torah yet. But that doesn't mean that when you write the last letter, it automatically renders everything into ksiva Sefer Torah. Shmuel Ram says fixing one letter is like writing a Sefer Torah. But there is a point where you can say that the ksav reflects enough of the original that it's a replica of, that's replicating to qualify as. To have the shame, to have the din of a ksiva, of the ksav of Torah. And now the mitzvah of reading Torah really is a mitzvah of reading ksav shel Torah. You just can't read Torah about peh. So the takonas Ezra was to be korei Torah. Korei ksiva sev Torah.
Where do you see from...
So just in terms of tefira, just get back to tefira, I would just say like this, that the Megillah requires all the elements that make a Sefer Torah, except for the Igeris qualities. So what are the Igeris qualities? So we're saying the type of ksiva is an element of the Igeris, right? And the stitching itself of Meshulash, of just three. So why is it different? Why is the stitching itself, itself also a kula in Igeris, right? So one thing is like this. I'm just sort of guessing at this, but it seems to me like this: that sefer, that a thing that is per se a sefer. So sefer by definition is a permanent record, Okay. So lamaisa, you need the highest quality ingredients, obviously. You need the most pristine ksiva because it's something that's going to be copied for, you know, many, many times and looked at and referenced in the future. And the way it's put together has to be to the most, it has to reflect permanence in every element of this, of the thing, in all of its material and in all of its composition. So if I stitched it with three stitches, if I skip stitches, then I am reducing the permanence of the object. Two more stitches would have made it more permanent. So it's not that it's going to fall apart if it has three stitches, but it must have a permanent reflect. It must permanent. It must have a quality of permanence too. But the igeret, nikras igeres, just means that it doesn't need to express that quality. It has to have all the components because lamaisa we want the megillah to be able to last. But as long as it's practically sewn up together well, meaning mishulash. A stitch in the top, in the middle, and in the bottom, it doesn't, it's not lacking because it's not expressing permanence. You understand? Top to bottom is required by Torah because since it's possible to put in more stitches, and more stitches expresses more permanence, then the quality of Sefer demands every expression of permanence that it can. But the Megillah just requires the practicality of lasting. It doesn't need to express the identity of Sefer. You understand? So as long as you, so even if you skip stitches, it's okay. Because lamaisa, you're having the right qualities in the ingredients are there, and it's done, and the stitching is done in an adequate way. The only thing you could say it's missing is an expression of Sefer, but it's not. Doesn't need to express that identity. But the main thing that from before is you've got to, the main preconceived notion you must drop is that in order to be good for reading, you must have the entity Bishleimusa, Bikashrusa, in order to be good for reading. And one mistake and one thing that takes it away from the shame of the Sefer means the reading is no good. That's wrong. In order to have reading, you just have to have the ksiva of the Sefer. That's all you need. Igeres has very few requirements for when you have the ksiva, but the Sefer Torah has more. But nothing demands the full, complete book.